This podcast of the Radio Cafe comes to you via radiocafe.org, where you can find more information and many other podcasts. Technical support comes from Studio X, providing website design, hosting, e-commerce, and social media marketing, serving Santa Fe to the world since 1994. Find out more at studiox.com. I'm very happy now to welcome to the Radio Cafe Susan Hemmerly. She's director of the Horse Shelter here in Santa Fe. Beth Longenecker is on the board of directors there, and we're here to talk about an event that's coming up this weekend. It's the third annual Gimme Shelter Trainers Rally for Rescues. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you for having us, Mary Charlotte.
It's a great pleasure to have you. I've been actually to this event for the last 2 years. It's incredible. We'll talk about it in a minute, but
Wonderful. First
of all, tell us what the Horse Shelter is.
We're a nonprofit. We were incorporated in 2000, so we've been around for a very long time. We have a ranch in Cerrillos. And in the last years, we've always had between 70 and 80 horses in rescue. Right now, we actually have a little over 80, with two mares going to foal any day now. So we're at capacity. We take horses from the New Mexico Livestock Board that were abandoned, abused, or neglected, and we refeed them, we rehabilitate them, we train them, and Beth is a board member who is in charge of the training program, and we find them new homes if possible.
What is the history of these horses? How did they get into the positions that they're in when you take them in?
A lot of them are really, some of them are seized on cruelty. You know, they get seized from their owners by the New Mexico Livestock Board, and often cruelty charges are filed. So they're often really starved. They come in very bad condition with, you know, never having their hoofs taken care of, their teeth taken care of, very low body weight. And
traumatized, probably, too.
Traumatized and, very traumatized. And, you know, we do our best. There's a refeeding protocol. We vet them. Our veterinarian comes out and vet it. And, you know, we do our best to get them back to health.
There are some before and after pictures, and you guys witness that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
When a horse comes back into health, I mean, describe that.
It's amazing. It's an amazing process, because when they come in so underweight, and people might know it from dogs and cats, they really don't have the energy to show their personality. So they're very downtrodden. It takes a while, and with horses, it can take up to, you know, to 6 months to a year to refeed them properly, because if you refeed too fast, you can actually kill them. They can have something called a refeeding syndrome, and their kidneys and their inner organs would shut down. So you have to be very careful in this refeeding process, not to harm them, or, you know, to give them the best chance possible. Sometimes we're too late. Sometimes their organs were already damaged.
Mm-hmm.
But very often we're surprised at how they turn around, and you can see the horse that, you know, the ribs, the bones are sticking out. They gain weight. So you see this transformation from a skeletal to a healthy looking horse. So that's wonderful. You see a transformation from the horse also getting its personality back. So after 3 to 6 months, suddenly you're like, oh, this is who you are. And then you also can see the transformation when the training program kicks in and they're at a weight where they can start going into training. You achieve a fully new level of, you know, them being conditioned, gaining their muscle back, and interacting with humans. So, you know, there's many steps of a wonderful transformation that happens there. And the best one is when they find a good match, a good home, and they can bond with their new owner.
Which is what the upcoming event is about, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But with dogs, there's a thing with rescued dogs that once they are healthy and get their personality back, different breeds and different individual dogs really are good for different things. Some are great working dogs. Some are great lap dogs. Some want nothing but to chase a ball, that kind of thing. What about horses? Is there a similar kind of thing? Certain horses are really better for certain owners for certain kinds of work?
Absolutely. as Susan was saying, you know, when they come in, we can just kind of guesstimate what kind of breed they're, what they might be. And, you know, they're very underweight and in poor shape. We have to keep them quarantined for 30 days. Nobody's allowed to touch them but the ranch managers and our veterinarian, Dr. Berkeley Chesson. And our ranch managers, Michelle and Mike Wolford, do a wonderful job at integrating these horses after they come out of quarantine into different pens where volunteers will be grooming on them and just loving on them and getting them to know people again. And that's a key thing for their rehabilitation, is just trust again.
Are these horses who've all been with people before? Are there any, like, wild horses in the mix?
We have taken in, on some cases, some seized wild horses. As a matter of fact, we're really excited in this challenge this year. These are part of a group of horses that came out of Gallup, I believe, and these babies were taken off of their mares at just like 2 and 3 months old, way too early. The mares went to slaughter, and we took
five
of these Navajo babies, and several of these babies are in the challenge this year, and they're 3-year-olds this year. We had to hold back one. He was just still too small. But we're so excited because we're getting such great feedback that they were so socialized and prepared well for this challenge by the volunteer program that Michelle Wolford has done out at the shelter, and that they're just like really wonderful horses to work with. And every trainer this year is so different in their training methods, but so wonderful. And they've all just, you know, said how great these colts are this year. So we're seeing a really full circle on these babies that came in that were, you know, near death. They were skinny. They were sick. They had a long road for trust issues. They had not been, you know, touched by humans. The only thing they knew was being ran into trucks and trailers and being rounded up, and they were pretty traumatized.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So we're really excited about this year's challenge in the group of horses. And like I say, they come out of quarantine. If they're not healthy enough, we can't start their training. As Susan said, it can take 6 months to a year. But we evaluate them a little bit coming out of quarantine. Our trainer, Katie Johansson, at the shelter, she's our full-time trainer. Her and the ranch managers will get them into the bullpen and try to evaluate how much they've been trained in their past, if any at all, if they've had a saddle on, if they've been worked with. So we kind of have that first evaluation, and then they get turned back out till they get at weight. If they're at weight already, because sometimes they are, then we'll start their training progress. And some of them aren't broke for saddle yet, and some of them we find are trained. We've had several horses that are very well trained, and so we just get them back on the web page, and our trainer starts really riding them. The volunteers are working with them, and we're just trying to make them as, you know, ready for the public as we can.
I think there's a distinction also made, you know, between wild and what's called feral horse. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the wild horses usually are what we consider Mustangs, or, you know, horses that come off the BLM, or they come off the reservations, you know, and our Navajo ponies that
right.
Beth was just talking about. There's also horses that just get set loose by their owners because the owners can't afford them. They don't want them. They're backyard breeders that are breeding for a color that they didn't get, and the horse isn't the
goodness.
Color, and they let it loose. So they can be all types. We have thoroughbred type horses. We have quarter horse type horses. We have Arabian horses. You know, we have all kinds of horses mm-hmm. that, of course, we don't have the paperwork on and we don't have the background on because they were found abandoned. And those horses don't fare well when they're set loose, you know,
right.
different
mm-hmm.
than a Mustang. That's
yeah, that'd be putting like putting a dachshund out into the wild.
Exactly.
Right, right.
Exactly.
And to answer your original question, mm-hmm. yes, there are horses suited better for other things. You know, there are horses that came off the racetrack that maybe can go into dressage mm-hmm. or jumping now. There are quarter horses that are better for, like, cattle work or trail riding, pleasure work, you know. Little Arabians for endurance. I mean, yes, it is like dogs a lot like that. They are better suited for different things in their lives. And, you know, I think we're really trying to touch out to the public these days that you know, it's a long-term commitment, just like the dogs you get at the rescue. They need more training, you know. It doesn't just start with our training. Our training is a great start, but by no means is 100 days on these horses a finished horse. And we've really changed the criteria this year so that the horses have more, like, groundwork and more, you know, more things that might suit the public on those 100 days. But we encourage everybody to, if they're not advanced riders or owners, to either, you know, seek the help of these wonderful trainers that are already training them, or if they have another trainer, or, you know, whatever their journey is, it's a big commitment to, you know, to continue training these horses and get help with the training. And so we're trying to really promote that as well, as, you know, these horses need to go on. They can have a great future, just like any high bred horse. And I'm sure some of these horses we get used to be high bred horses with papers and everything, and now they've been dumped out to fend for themselves or locked up somewhere, and because of overbreeding, just like the dog shelter and cats and everything. And so, you know, it's not about what you pay for them. It's about what you put into their future, really.
We're talking to Beth Longenecker and Susan Hemmerly of The Horse Shelter. What are the emotional needs of horses? I mean, you obviously have to feed them. They need exercise. But what about their kind of social and emotional needs?
They do need to be with another horse or a companion animal. They are a herd animal. Prey animal. So they, you know, they do want to be in a herd. I think, you know, if we were in ideal situations, horses could be totally happy living out in the wild, you know, in their herd and living the life of a horse, same as dogs could be out in a pack in the woods. And, but that's not the situation we're looking at right now. So you can see huge I think many of them really do improve with bonding, you know, with the continued work with a human that they learn to trust, and a partnership is achieved. And that can happen in training, in riding. It can also happen with a companion animal, you know.
Not another horse, you mean?
No, where the horse is just a companion, like a pet. You know, that somebody might not want to ride them. They might want to have a horse to interact with because they have a wonderful and healing energy.
Interesting. Yeah.
And they require, you know, when you keep them in the domestic environment, you know, structure is a big thing for horses. They like routine. They like affection, but they also like you to, you know, to have a mutual respect with them. And they respect you. You respect them. It's not good to spoil them. They're too big to do that, you know, so, you know, kind hands, but firm hands kind of thing. Kind of like dogs are kind of like that too, you know, you have that balance of, you know, nutrition and, what they require shelter wise and, you know, their fencing and their exercise routine and just all of that, you know.
It's a funny thing because, I mean, both dogs and horses are domesticated and they both have their wildness in them.
Right.
And if you don't understand what the wolf nature of the dog is, you're missing your dog.
Yes.
But at the same time, I look at my dogs and I sometimes think their natural habitat was a couch.
It sure looks like it. And different than dogs, you know, horses can live to be well over 30 years of age. I don't know if you knew that. So it is a commitment.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of people, unfortunately, you know, they commit to the horse as long as they're going strong and there's no lameness and no sickness and everything like that. So a lot of times, you know, we'll get horses in that are just, you know, okay, we're done with them. So, you know, we can't afford to feed one anymore. We need one we can use. And that's the unfortunate part, you know, on that part of it.
Yeah, and it's the same thing. And we talk about this with the folks from Kindred Spirits Animal Sanctuary. A dog is a member of your family, just like your, you know, your elderly parents or uncles are members of your family. And you don't throw them out when they get old. You care for them when they get old.
Yeah, and so that's the hard part because horses are very expensive. Although I think sometimes they spend just as much on my small animals. Truthfully, I think their small animal dentals are more expensive than a horse dental, but just, you know, people need to, you know, realize the commitment that's there.
Well, let's talk about the upcoming event. It's called Gimme Shelter, and it's the third year that you've been doing this, and it's on the rodeo grounds Saturday, the 9th of July, starting at 10 in the morning. What's it all about?
Well, again, this is a chance for, you know, these horses to have a second lease on life, and not only for the trainers, you know, that are involved, you know, getting them out in the public that, you know, their training methods are really good and that they love to work with horses and people. And just to see these people, these trainers give back to the community is just, you know, just awes me every day.
So these trainers volunteer to take one of the horses from the horse shelter for 100 days.
Correct.
At whatever level it may be at, and train it, show it, and make it available for adoption.
Right. We've gotten where, you know, our criteria is to take anything that we have from 3 years old to 6 years old, and these horses have not been saddled or anything yet. Our volunteers have gotten them, you know, into, you know, the halters and lead ropes and gotten them to, you know, do some groundwork, lunging, and we got them used to going on and off a trailer before the trainers picked them up so that we have a low traumatization when the trainers do come, you know, and they do a lottery draw and they pick out of a hat, and that's how they draw their horse. And
oh, they can't say, I want that one.
No.
Interesting.
Yeah. So they have to, you know, they draw for their horse, whatever number they pick, that's the order they get to draw their horse. And so then the trainers take the horses the day of the draw. And they're given a small stipend for feed, and we do the farrier and vet care for them as well. But all the rest is just, you know, purely volunteer on their part to take these horses for 100 days and do, you know, a transformation. And, you know, since we've integrated the Gimme Shelter program, the full-time trainer and the ranch managers at the shelter the last 2 years, I mean, we've adopted over 60 horses. That's almost a whole herd. So we've been able to save that many more horses from going to slaughter. And so that's a big deal. And that comes from the support of the trainers, the community, Susan, everybody, the president of the shelter, Jennifer Rios, our board members, I mean, our sponsors. We just can't say enough about everybody's support, you know. And, you know, each year we learn a little bit more about what we need to do differently next year to make, you know, things better, to keep the horses in their homes or give the support to the new owners. Most of these horses will go back with the trainers after the challenge. We usually take the first three bids of the horse for adoption. And then the first bid, they get to go work with the trainer and the horse to see if it's a good match. Because, you know, it has to be a good match. You can't just say, you know, I want that one. That can happen at any horse sale, whether it's a adoption thing like this or a big fancy horse sale. You know, you can buy the wrong horse for $30,000 and get it home and go, uh-oh.
Yeah.
So we really want to set them up for success by doing this challenge.
And our adoption requirements still are in place, so we still vet the place, you know, their homes, the boarding facility, or wherever the horse will be kept. We check references on the horses. And I think what Beth said, and I wanted to pick up on a little bit, is that our adoption rates have really improved, and I think this event was conceived really to change the public image that a lot of people have about horse rescue, that there's only old and decrepit horses at a rescue, that you can't ride, you know, and we've been fighting with that for a long time. I had one person, just as an example, come out to look for a horse, and he said, Susan, I told my friend that I was going to the horse shelter to adopt a horse, and he said, well, you don't go to a junkyard to buy a car either.
Oh, my goodness.
So it's that kind of conception that's out there that we're really trying to change so people can see how many young horses we have that really are good horses that deserve a chance. And, you know, to make us their first stop when they consider getting a horse. And we're not saying we have a horse for everybody, but we think, you know, give us a call because it's really worth worth that. And it's very rewarding to be able to give a horse a new home.
And people are finding that out at all levels. You know, for some reason, people that are first getting into horses, they think about adopting a Mustang or going to a rescue first, which they're sometimes, you know, not the best match because they're so uneducated and the horses are where they're at, you know. Some are in a good place, some aren't. So we really vet every person, and we don't just adopt out to just anybody. It has to be the right match. If it's a greener horse and a green person, they have to have a trainer in place, you know. Some horses just get adopted out for companionship, some of the older horses. But what we're trying to really reach out to the public is more of advanced riders and everything, that we have really good horses there, that more advanced riders and people with a lot of horse knowledge or that do some professional classes, cattle stuff and everything, you could, you know, trail riding things, could really find a good horse here.
Right. I just can't get over how parallel it is to the dog thing. I mean, it's the same thing. A lot of people want to go to breeders and they don't realize that there's just absolutely great dogs. There are some, of course, there are also dogs in the animal shelter who need a lot of extra care and who have injuries and problems. And then there's other dogs like my little puppy, who's not a puppy anymore, who's just couldn't find a better dog at any breeder. Same with the horses. And this event, Gimme Shelter, is so, I mean, I went to it the first time you did it 2 years ago. It was at a ranch, somebody's ranch. And then last year it was at the rodeo, this year again at the Santa Fe Rodeo. And both times I was moved to tears because there are these moments where, I mean, each horse comes out with its trainer that the horse has been working with for 100 days. And sometimes they'll do something that seems, I mean, I don't know much about horses, but, you know, it seems quite spectacular. Other times they'll do something that's really simple, like they'll go and then they'll stop and then they'll jump over a log that's on the ground or something like that. Not really like the biggest tricks, but you can just see how much it took to get there and how much love there is in that gesture and how proud both the trainer and the horse are of what they've accomplished. And it's incredible. It's such a, I mean, it's just such a beautiful thing to witness.
It is. It's wonderful. It's such a win-win-win situation for everybody. You know, the trainers can give back to the horse community. They also can receive exposure at the event and show their craft.
Right.
And the horse can only win from this training and from having such a good foundation put on by the trainers on the horse. And of course, the horse shelter wins because many of these, almost all of the horses are adopted either at the event or thereafter, because they will be adopted with the training they have. So, and I hope the public wins as well, because it's really fun to watch.
It's fun to watch. It's a great event. It's just a fun-filled day. This year during lunch hour demonstration, we're going to have past shelter horses, where are they now? And so we're going to have some of the past horses that are going to demonstrate. We're excited to see them back. You know, it's amazing. You know, I'm a trainer myself, and it's amazing how I've seen in the last 3 years how attached these trainers get to these shelter horses.
Some
and
of
I'm
them
guilty
adopt
of it
them.
Too.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, the event Gimme Shelter, third annual trainers rally for rescues, comes to you from the horse shelter. It's this Saturday, the 9th of July at 10 in the morning. It's free and open to the public, and there's food and all kinds of stuff. And if you want to buy yourself a cowboy hat and things like that, you'll probably be able to do that too.
Yep. Many vendors there.
Many vendors. Susan Hemmerly is director of the horse shelter. Beth Longenecker is on the board of directors in charge of horse training programs. I want to thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
We appreciate you so much.
And once again, thehorseshelter.org is the website. And ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned, because later in the summer, there's going to be a film festival, the Equus Film Festival. So keep your eyes peeled for that. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned to the Radio Cafe. Thanks for listening to the podcast. To support the program, you can go to radiocafe.org. Many thanks to StudioX.com for their technical support and web design.